In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcome as we worship together this Christmas Eve. We are glad that you're here with us this evening, this afternoon evening, and we hope that you are warmly welcomed by those seated around you. Please take time to sign the welcome pads, and if you are new to our midst, please take time to introduce yourself to someone this evening as we gather together here. The children who are participating in the Living Nativity may already be in the back area, but if you are going to be in the Living Nativity and are out in the pews, please go back to the back entryway during the singing of O Come All Ye Faithful, the first hymn. Our offering this evening is for the Christmas Joy offering of the Presbyterian Church. You will find information about that offering in your bulletin this evening. All of our non-envelope pledge offering goes to the giving of the Christmas Joy offering, which supports racial ethnic schools of our denomination, as well as supplemental supports for retired church workers. You are invited to join us for a time of refreshments after the service, immediately after the service in the Hope Room, as we share together in the Gingerbread Church, and I believe also share in the celebration today of the 100th day celebration of Eric's joining our midst in Korean tradition. We will be worshiping tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. in worship here in the sanctuary in a service of lessons and carols that is particularly family friendly as we learn and share in the story of Christmas, mostly in song.
Walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. Our Advent journey is now complete. The darkness is gone, and the light of the world is here. Our hope has been met. Our preparations are done. Our joy has been made perfect. The love of God has come to live among us. And so today, we light the candle of Christ. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all. The long-awaited Christ has come. Celebrating the birth of our Savior, we light this candle. Together, we will shine with the radiant light of Christ.
Come, let us worship God as we sing together our opening carol, O Come, All Ye Faithful.
Joyful and triumphant, O come ye faithful. The first scripture reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, a time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Let us join in singing hymn number 24, not 25, Away in a Manger, which is being led by Emily Lum from our church school. We will be singing verses 1 and 2.
The second scripture reading is from Luke 2, verses 8 to 14. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising the God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace favors those whom he favors."
Let us sing together hymn number 50, Rise Up, Shepherd, and Follow, verse 1.
Thank you.
The third scripture reading is from Luke chapter 2, verse 15 through 20. When the angels had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child laying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them.
Let us sing verses 1 and 2 of hymn number 23, "Angels We Have Heard on High."
The fourth scripture reading is from Matthew 2, verses 1 to 2 and 9 to 11. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For he observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen in its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw that the child was Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Our hymn is We Three Kings of Orient Are, verse 1, number 66.
The last scripture reading from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 49. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name."
Let us all adore him as we sing together, Go Tell It on the Mountain, number 29, verse 1. Let us pray. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray in this hour. in this moment, in the blessing of this great gift. We come this night to give you thanks. We come this night that you might be born in our hearts anew tonight, that we might see you more clearly, follow you more nearly, love you more dearly, day by day. Bless these children in our midst and their families, and those throughout our world, all your children, that they might live lives of hope, joy, peace, and love in places free of pain and care. We give you thanks for your guiding presence in all of life, with power that brings justice and grace, healing and hope, out of all places needing your transforming touch. Your coming transforms our world then and now. We pray for those places of our world which need to know your grace, for places of pain and hurt, of illness and grief, of hunger and despair. May your light shine upon the people of Korea in this week of their grief to bring new hope and promise. May the light of Christ shine in the darkest places of lives and places in need. Give us grace, O God, to grow always as your disciples. As Jesus was born and grew as our Savior, we seek to follow you with our lives, with hopes and dreams that are your vision for our lives in you. Guide us, great God, in the parts of your drama we are to play, that we may know and live in your Spirit as your Spirit lives in us this day and forevermore, in and through the power of the one who taught us to pray, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Well, good evening. This afternoon has turned into night. Here we are at a new time for our Christmas Eve worship service. We're so glad to gather together in the joy of this evening, even as it leads us into tomorrow, a day of rest, a day with family, a day to celebrate the coming again of our King, the coming of Jesus. I want to share with you a Christmas Eve poem. It's called Emmanuel by Angela Alimo O'Donnell. From the cave of darkness, a baby comes to light in the nick of time, eternity, tonight. In a world of error, a perfect child is birthed. In the midst of terror, peace arrives on earth. In the chill of winter dawns this blazing sun. To a world of sinners comes this sinless one. In a land of chaos speaks this single word, whose voice can raise the dead, whose promise can be heard. Even as he cries, sleepers stir beneath the sod, for nothing is impossible with God. On this holy night, as we are reminded again that nothing is impossible with our God, let us turn to God in a word of prayer as we begin together. Let us pray. Great and gracious God, you stepped down into the world that you made. You came to us in the lowliness of a child. You came to us in terms we could understand, grip, and grasp. O Lord, we grasp for you tonight. We seek that you would open our hearts to receive you, open our ears to hear your word, and open our lives again as Scripture speaks and the story is told, let it be our story as well. In Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. I wonder how many of you saw the cover of Time magazine this week. This is the time of year when Time magazine names their annual Person of the Year, the person who has contributed the most this year, or who has shaped the national dialogue in some way, or who has somehow been the most important part of the events that went on during this year past. It's a big deal to be named Time's Person of the Year. There's a colorful and illustrious history of those who have won this honor. It includes every sitting American president since Calvin Coolidge. There have been inventors and generals, scientists and kings, peacemakers, and more. But this year, in kind of a surprise move, Time magazine named their Person of the Year not as any of those kind of people, but instead, it was the protester. The protester was Time's Person of the Year. Not a single person or even the name of anyone we would know, but a whole group of people, largely unknown, mostly unheard of, but they were people who crashed their way this year onto the world stage. We've seen protest movements this year, haven't we? In Wall Street and here in Providence. Over in Europe, in the streets of Greece and of Russia. And most improbably and importantly, we've seen and heard from thousands of protesters in the Middle East. The Middle East is that region where repressive regimes and brutal dictatorships have long dominated the discussion, and all power has flowed through the army, the police, and the government. The little people have had no voice. But it was against this dramatic backdrop where the newsmakers this year in that region were not generals or politicians or the usual power players. Instead, surprisingly and even refreshingly, they were people whose voices we had never heard before, whose images we had never seen. They were protesters. They were just regular, everyday kind of people who got swept up into the story that was unfolding. They took their place in center stage this year and found their part to play. Well, tonight, the events of our world in this past year seem to blend almost naturally as we listen again to the amazing and awesome story of the birthday of Jesus. It's also a story that begins against the backdrop of military and government power. Remember that Emperor Augustus had called for a census of all the people, which meant that everyone was compelled to leave where they were living and to go back to their place of origin, their hometown. How different the census was in those days from what we experience in these days, where a census for us means thousands of cheerful workers in matching hats and t-shirts who come knocking at the door and ask if we will please fill out this card. Very different in Roman times. New Testament scholar Eric Barreto reminds us that in Rome, the census was more than just a demographic study. It was a way to take an accurate account so that the empire could be assured that its coffers would be full. The census was a crucial step in taxation. This was the power of empire, and it was on display. The decision, of course, had been taken at the highest levels. The Emperor Augustus, the governor Quirinius, the tax authorities, and the military command structure. They all mobilized to command and control the events that would soon unfold. And that's the way of the world, isn't it? Something that we know well enough. That those in high places and positions of power make decisions, and then we watch it unfold. Maybe we read about it in the newspaper. That's the way of the world. But it is not the way of God. God, you see, again and again chooses and uses unlikely people to play a part in what God is doing. God chooses and uses unlikely people to be part of what God is up to. All went to their towns in those days to be registered, and Joseph went with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in bands of cloth, laid him in a manger, for there was no room for him in the inn. Mary and Joseph were unlikely people to play a part in anything that was important. Mary, you remember, was an unwed teenage mother. Joseph was just a working man, a carpenter by trade. Like everyone else, they were forced to leave where they were living and to go back to Joseph's hometown for the census. And when they got there, they couldn't even find a place to stay. That's how unimportant they were. In fact, when God sent an angel to appear to Mary and to tell her about all that was about to happen, Mary heard it and said, "God has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant." The lowliness of his servant. This is not just Mary being humble. She knew that she was lowly, at least by the world's standards. But for some reason, God called her to play a part. God calls unexpected people to play a part in what God is doing. And there's more, because we remember that in that region there were shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. We saw a few of them a few minutes ago up on stage. These shepherds that we encounter were more of these lowly, everyday kind of people, but people who were taking center stage in the greatest story ever told. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords was being born into the world that night, but the news of it was not proclaimed to the emperor in his throne room. It was not shouted out in any place of power or privilege in any palace. Instead, it was told first to the shepherds. Shepherds in those days were always poor. They were on the lowest rung of society. And yet it was to them, those lowly people, to whom this good news of great joy was first proclaimed. And as with Mary, they don't just hear the good news, but they also respond. Once the angels have left them, we remember, they say to one another, "Let us go at once to Bethlehem to see this thing that has been told." And so they go and they see. They worship and they give thanks to God because they've been called into this drama, into this story. They've been given a part to play. And so that's the way it was back then. And in some ways, that's been the way of our world this year with all of these protest movements. And I want to suggest to you tonight that that's even the way it is for us. That Jesus' coming is not first or foremost for the elite or the powerful or the Time magazine persons of the year, whoever they may be, but instead that Jesus comes into the world tonight for people like you and like me, people who have walked in great darkness, who have seen a great light. And like those ordinary and everyday people of the Bible, the shepherds and Mary and Joseph, God chooses to work in and through us. We who come and see, we who come and worship, we are invited into the beauty and the joy, the peace and the love and the wonder of this night as we join together in playing our part in welcoming the newborn king. The ushers are going to come forward in a moment, and they're going to take some of this light from the Christ candle. This light represents for us the light of Christ coming into the world tonight. It's a light that we share with one another, even as we are illuminated in our lives by it. I invite you to pass this light, even as we sing together our hymn, "Silent Night, Holy Night. All is calm, all is bright. Amen." giving thanks for the gift of Christ our Savior, born this night, we return also to God some of the gifts that God has given to us in our lives. We collect tonight an offering, part of which is our Christmas joy offering. Bring forward the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks for these gifts brought forward today. May they be put to the work of your kingdom through this church. O Lord, bless and keep each one of us who has given from our bounty and our scarcity, who has given in faith and trust, relying again on your everlasting arms to come around us, to provide for our every need. Lord, we give you thanks that you have provided tonight a Savior. Lord, may we live in the love and light of this evening, even as we proclaim the goodness and joy that we feel. Amen. Our final hymn tonight is number 40, Joy to the World. Let us stand and sing together.
Let our grief
You are invited for a time of fellowship in the Hope Room. There will be gingerbread church for all, as well as some cider and fellowship. Now go forth into the world in Christmas peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil, but support the weak, help the afflicted, honor all persons, love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of his Spirit. And may the blessings of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain within you, both this Christmas Eve and forevermore. Amen.
the heck is Isaiah? Oh, here we go. Yes. Not great. No. No. The tooth kept breaking off, and they had to dig it out. And then the next day, I had a temp of 102. You know, I've just been not having fun. I've been able to pretty much, I stopped the codeine the next day because I didn't know what was triggering the fever. I mean, this is the fourth implant I've had. I've never had a fever problem. I never had any kind of reaction, so I didn't know where it was coming from. So I stopped the Tylenol with codeine and just went on Tylenol, which didn't totally cover the pain, but I didn't want to go back on the codeine. So, yeah, it was one of these one-day wonders. You know, it spiked and then it gradually fell back off again. But if, you know, for days after, my joints were achy and everything. And but I was able to practice last night. Just my mouth is really drying out a lot. So we're supposed to be here at 9 tomorrow. The other thing is my prosthesis didn't fit. You know, my temporary thingy didn't fit. So I didn't feel well enough to go have my regular dentist mess around with it. I was supposed to leave the office with it in. We used old impressions, so I don't know. I mean, they weren't that old. And she thought they were in good shape, but it's possible there's been some little shift for some reason. So hopefully she'll be able to fix it, but I gotta wait till the first week of January. So I got this very attractive. Ariel keeps saying, "Why do you need a tooth there?" I'm like, I can't. My mother was a dental hygienist, and she was on our teeth all the time, and I was born with very bad teeth, so anytime I see people with missing teeth, it drives me nuts, you know, but, so anyway, hopefully nothing else will go belly up this year. A long drawn out procedure, so Which is fine. You said I've been on Fosamax for 5 years, and there's a lot of stuff in the literature about that interfering with the teeth. He said my bone was just rock solid. My bone scan was also better this time. Every time I have it, it's been worse than the time before. This time I went up, so I don't know why, but I want some independent bone stuff like silicon and magnesium and boron and some stuff like that. Yeah, so we're supposed to be here at 9 tonight. Just looking over what I have to read.
I've got a real song on
here. Oh. Do you want to look at it?
No, I'll probably
go over it. Alright. Because being here at 9, it's not going to really give me a chance to practice this tonight. Tomorrow.
Thank you.